God's revelation is going to be released this morning. Hallelujah. He gives us special revelation in the body of Christ. And he confirms it in our private time with him. But meeting in the assembly is crucial. I've gotten more revelation in my life during worship in this place than anywhere else in my life. He gives me things here that help me unravel the mystery of Christ to the world. Because that's our job, because he's revealing his mystery in the earth, not only to us, but to the principalities and powers, to let them know we know who we are. Amen. So we thank you, Lord, for doing that. We thank you for doing that in Pastor Tony's life and sending him to places that you've prepared for him. Really for us, because we're one. We're one perfect man, so when he goes, we all go. That's why God called you to this assembly. He knew that he previously made you in advance to be able to handle the things that we have to face in order to get the gospel preached all around the world. So we thank you for that, Lord. We know that Pastor Tony's going to be successful. We know that you're giving him revelation. When you sit in the plane for 30 hours, you get revelation. There's nowhere else to go. What are you going to? You're not comfortable, so you know I'm praying against air pockets this time. My air bubbles in my stomach. So you only have one place to go, and that's him. Because you know he has you cradled. You know he's holding on. You're holding on to him for everything that you are, but he's holding on to you just as tight. And when you're that close to him, he can't help but share the depths of his heart. And when you get the goods, you can't wait to give them out. You can't. Well, I can't wait to get to Uganda next week. It's exciting. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So let's pray and see what God's going to speak today. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We're here for you. You're here for us. Hallelujah. We open up our hearts to you. You've already opened up your heart to us. You've revealed yourself to us, and we thank you for that. We're honored to be here today. We're honored to stand in your name. And when we've done all to stand, we continue to stand. That's our weapons of warfare. Hallelujah. We don't have to fight. You've already won. All we have to do is stand. So we thank you for that, Lord Jesus, that you made the way, that you've already accomplished everything that needed to be accomplished, and now we're working it out in Jesus' name. You're equipping each one of us for the work of the ministry. And we thank you for that, that you've given it to us so we can freely give. So give to us today what you have for us, Father God, so we can freely give it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So we have momentum in the Spirit. Week after week after week, God's building. He's preparing. He's releasing. I love to be in the position to release. Like, this is one of my favorite things to do right here, to release. I wish I did it every week. I've been praying that God would open up the opportunity for me to minister every week behind the pulpit. It's awesome. Maybe I'll be in Africa. I don't know. wherever he wants, whatever he wants to do. Hallelujah. All I know is they're hungry over there. We're hungry here too, but they email me, they text me, they're hungry. I'm like their bro now, you know. I only met them for 4 days, and I'm their best bro they ever met in their life. I was just preaching the gospel to them, and they were getting saved, healed, and delivered. I didn't even pray any prayers for that. All I was doing was preaching the gospel, relaying the info that God was giving me instantly when I was standing in the place. I was standing to stand for him. And he was creating faith in their hearts as he was ministering. And there's no microphones, there's no AC. It's dirt and it's dust and it's just good. It's great. Hallelujah. There's no worries. He wants to talk to us today about living for Christ, and to die is gain. There's many different ways you could die. As long as it's for him, it's gain. If it's religious, then it's not gain. And how you find out if it's religious or not is the power that's released through it. And it's, you know, once that you are in him, and him is your the reality of who you are, then it's not as hard to die to things, because you don't want to be part of those things anymore. So you gear up your life in a whole different way. And it's good. And it's profitable. And it's peaceful. And it's powerful. And it's resourceful. And the vision that you get through staying in that zone is what God has done in this assembly through all of us. Is he's growing our faith together. So when Pastor Tony goes, he has the backing of the assembly to stand on his behalf and to pray the things of God into situations that he faces, because he can't do it all himself. So all of our prayers are very important and profitable for the kingdom. And let's look at Philippians 1, 21. Let's just read that scripture verse. For to me to live is Christ. This is the Apostle Paul. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So there's no room for doubt in there. When you're in that zone, like, I try to put myself in positions where I potentially could die for Christ. Like, going to Africa is no easy thing. There's a lot of ways that, you know, you could face things that are not comfortable, and you could gain death. But I like that, because I just don't want to live to live. I want to be purposeful in where I put myself, so that I could be vulnerable and only live by faith and not be able to react in my own strength and have any control over anything. That's where God's taken his assembly in these days. So there's no room for doubt. And when you look at the gain, when you live forever and have that comprehension of foreverness, then we have to make sure our lives count to the best. That's what we should be focused on. How can my life count to the fullest so that I may gain eternity and rule and reign with Christ in a fashion that is phenomenal? I don't want a back row seat in heaven. I want to be in taking over areas and be in charge. But what you do here is going to determine on what your position is up there. So it's very important that we stay in position here. like Pastor Tony and I work good together because I don't compete with him and he doesn't compete with me. So we could do our thing and I could get up and give some foreknowledge about what he's even going to preach on Sunday and not even talk to him about it. Because we're on the same page. So we work good together in a sense that we don't compete. A husband and a wife work good together when the husband and wife don't compete. Because Pastor Tony has a headship over my life, I don't compete with the Lord Jesus because he's the head of the church. And a wife shouldn't compete with her husband because he has a headship position, whether he's right or wrong. That if she competes with him and undermines his authority, then she hurts herself. If she makes him successful, even when he doesn't deserve it, then she becomes successful because of the position and the honor that she bestows upon the governmental structure of the kingdom. But the world doesn't teach that. We lose focus on it, and we try to get recognition. We try to get acknowledgement. When I want to tell you something, don't bring attention to yourself. Because it'll slap you in the face. Really. Don't bring attention to yourself. Just stay focused, stay humble. Humility means that you're trusting God for everything. You're not kissing the dirt because you're humble. You're just letting God be in total control, and that makes you humble because then you can't pull any strings. You don't want to. You're satisfied with what he's doing in your life. I can't begin to look back at my life and try to figure things out and why I'm in the position that I am now. It's I'm in God's hands. Things didn't work out the way I thought they were going to work out. But who am I to decide how it's going to work out? And so I just want to encourage you that there's no room for doubt when you're living in Christ. When your life is him. Gain is a performance working ability that brings the kingdom into your business. So bring the kingdom into your business. Bring the kingdom into your relationship with your boss. Bring the kingdom into the relationship with your customers. Bring the kingdom into the relationship with your wife and with your husband. And focus on that. Don't try to change anything. Let the kingdom change you. Let the kingdom dynamics plant the seeds in your heart that change you, and then you will not look at yourself anymore, but you'll look at to help other people. It's an advantage-taking situation. That's what gain is. And so gain is to lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. That's what gain is. And if you lose your life doing it, that's gain. If God decides to keep you here 100 years, it's still gain. And so we don't have to worry about what happens to us. I could sit on that plane, and the only thing I have to worry about is the gas bubble. I don't have to worry about my life. That's it. Now, I have a way to get around that, but I'm not going to go there right now. Hallelujah. You purchase your rewards in heaven by your decisions. Yeah. No, don't. I am part Christian comedian, but I'm not going to do that today. If you could make Greg laugh over there, then you could, not Greg, Steve, I'm sorry. If you could make Steve laugh in the pulpit, from the pulpit, then you're a Christian comedian. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at Philippians 2, please. So by our decisions, we purchase our reward in heaven. We put power to our faith, not reasoning to our faith, But we don't use our senses for our faith. We have to get out of the sense decisions in order to gain Christ. Because it's always not going to go our way. We're always not going to feel the best. But that doesn't determine who we are in Christ, and that doesn't stop us from getting to where God wants us to be, because we already have heard His voice. So if we heard His voice, then we know He's going to give us what we need to get to the place where He told us to go. Regardless of how we feel or what's going on with us, we don't have to pay attention to that. We don't have to be fixed on that. We don't have to fix that. We're so used to fixing ourselves or trying to fix other people that we get in trouble. And that's where doubt comes in, when we try to fix things. And when they don't happen in our time frame, then we can get curious. And we could start questioning things. And that allows avenues for attack to come to your mind. But when you're already predetermined that you're going to go regardless of what comes your way, then it's harder for the devil to reroute your destination. Hallelujah. So let's look at Philippians 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Now, if Pastor Tony could pray one thing, that's what he would pray for this assembly. I'm sure he prayed that prayer while he was on the plane. Because he knows if we're in one mind and in one accord, if we are unified to the degree where nothing hinders the gospel of Jesus Christ by grace through faith, and we're mindful in that one direction, then that's going to give him liberty and freedom in degrees that he's never experienced before. Because when you're looking for instant, when you speak and things happen instantly, you would not believe how powerful and how encouraging that is. When you minister the gospel and you get testimony the next day about what God did in that person's life, 12 hours, and they come in excited and life-changing events take place, then you know you're in the right place at the right time. Then you know you're not dependent on your own understanding to get things done, but you're working spontaneous with Him. As He speaks, you're speaking. As He thinks, you're thinking. It's coming like a wave, and you can't stop it unless you try to. If you don't try to get in the way, then you can't stop it. You can't stop a tsunami. And that's what He's doing in the nations. He's flooding the nations with the mystery of His gospel. That's why Pastor Tony's on the go. He's gone all month, coming back for 3 days. His business is, you know, booked, but he can't stop to take care of that. He has to depend on others to take care of it. He has to take care of the business of the kingdom, first and foremost. And so that could get a little, you know, not scary, but a little uncomfortable. Because there's a lot of bills to pay. There's a lot of mouths to feed. There's a lot of people that are involved with the machine. But God's big enough. He's big enough. When we're of one mind, He's big enough. I feel like we're one mind in here, in Jesus' name. Week after week after week, we're getting the same info. The Holy Ghost has our attention the same way, on the same focus, on being deliberate in what we do, opening up opportunities for us like He's never done before. We're losing sight of ourselves. And that is a great advantage. You don't doubt when you lose sight of yourself. You only doubt when you're mindful of yourself and your insecurities and inabilities. Amen. I'm not up here because I like to speak. I really like to keep to myself. But I love it because I know it's not me doing it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let nothing be done by selfish ambition. That's the only way you could be successful. Hallelujah. I just ran into a situation where my mother needs help. I just knew that I had to pop the question and say, Mom, you know, if you need me to live with you or do whatever you need, it would be an honor. And she jumped on it like a... She was crying. Oh, yes, please. Yes. So we bought a house together. It happened, bam, owner financing. It happened in a couple weeks, and all of a sudden we moved into the house and we're living together. And it's like... It's a good thing. And, you know, do nothing through selfish ambition. What can I put into the pile that's going to help her be successful and comforted and just be hopeful? And the Bible says in the commandments, honor your father and mother. And you're right. So... You know, it's all good. Is it easy? No. Do you run into issues when you have to take care? You don't know what you're going to get the next day. You don't know when she's going to lose her key, what she's going to do with her glasses, where this is going. It's like a mystery. It's like you become a detective trying to find stuff. Bills, this, it's like it made my life so much more complicated. And then we walk into my son's church, and I introduce my mother to the lady at the front greeting place, and she said, she looks younger than you. I'm like, thank you. Thank you, Lord. So, you know, it's like I'm getting hammered from every direction, you know. She is pretty. But, yeah, I'm pretty too, I guess. But it was funny. But there's no room for doubt. You take it, you take the punches, you throw them back, you throw more back, and you leave the results up to God. Hallelujah. And that's the way it is. But, you know, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So, that is powerful when to live is Christ and to die is gain. Let his mind be in you. So, all that he went through and all that he experienced for us on our behalf that we didn't have to go through, that mind is in us. And it's the foundation for our thinking process for the kingdom when we know that he already took it on the jaw for us and we could go out for the bomb and catch the bomb and get the touchdown pass like Pastor Tony talked about that one Sunday. We have the freedom to do even greater things than he did because he already took it on the chin for us. He took it on the chin for Pastor Tony to go into Zambia. Where's Zambia? I never even really heard of Zambia. Just to go, happy. I can't wait to go. I'm going. I'll be back in 3 days. I'm going again. You know, see you guys. See you, Len. He's zoned in. And now what's happening is not only is he zoned into world missions, he's zoned into letting God run his business fully. And so we're seeing that there's no doubt That once you get all, you get that far out on the end of the tree where the fruit is big and you're dangling on the branch at the end, there's no way you're going to get back to the trunk. Can't find your way back. And so that's the, you purchase your reward by the decisions that you make here on earth. Because we're only here a short time. So, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He didn't consider it robbery to be equal with his Father. Now, my sons are equal with me as far as a created person and a family. I just have a position over them. But they're equal with me. But they bear my name. They look like me. I talked about that before. And the same way, well, not quite like me anymore, but that's what I used to look like. And so Jesus didn't consider it robbery. And that's what made the religious people so mad, because they knew that he said he was, him and the Father are one and the same. Well, when I go to the nations, me and my Father are one and the same. I don't even think any different. There'd be no possible way I could find that place 30 hours away if my Father didn't take me there. So if he took me there, he's going to provide everything I need to glorify his name, and he's going to make me look good. He's going to make me look good. Not by my looks, but by what comes out of my mouth and the demonstration of power. And he brought me to a place where they're all bald. Kids, I told you, the kids are bald, the men are bald, the ladies are bald. I fit right in. It's like I'm right at home. The kids, now if I had hair like Doc, they might be afraid of me over there. And who's that ghost with the white hair? Now I'm just like them. Fit right in. They come up to me, the kids, you know, they're a little shy in the beginning, but then they're hanging all around. It's great. And so, you know, but he didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, which means he emptied himself of his privileges. And that's what we do when we go into the nations. We empty ourselves of our privileges, and then we get privileged. We get privileged by being ambassadors of Christ. And being put into their lives for good, and they know that why we are there is because of the goodness of God and because of the goodness of the lives and their future. So he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Now, the one pastor came up to me and says, Gene, I know it's hard. I know you traveled a lot. It's hot. You got to speak through an interpreter. You got to wait and be patient. And I said, no, it was the easiest thing I ever did. I ever did. It's easy. All you do is have to get there. That's what you have to do. You have to determine that you're going to get there no matter what. Once you get there, then everything is opened up for you to be successful in the kingdom and to hand out the goods of the kingdom. And it's phenomenal. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father, of God the Father. Hallelujah. So confession opens the fountainhead of power of the gospel. That's what we do. We're confessing the reality of the kingdom. Professing. Actually, I never thought I'd be a professor in a Bible college. It just blows me away that the whole nation has to go through that college in order to get a license, and I'm the professor. figure that one out. Now, did I do that? No way. It took 30 years of preparation, going around the mountain, going through the ringer, experiencing things from God that only can be experienced sometimes through brokenness and sometimes from mountaintop experiences. But you hang on and you keep pressing forward in the name of Jesus. You don't try to figure it out. You don't even try to rehearse what you could have done to make it different, because he's big enough to do whatever he wants. You just accept yourself for who you are right where you're at and get in that cab with Jesus and roll with him. Let him just fill you up. Let him take you wherever he wants to take you. Make sure you don't put your wife down. Make sure you don't put your husband down. Make sure you don't put the pastor down. Make sure you don't just zip it. Sell out. Why not sell out for what's good? Why not sell out? Why not sell out when you get up in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror? Just sell out right there. I'm not going to try to figure this out. I'm just going to sell out and get where I have to go and leave the results up to God. That's being a little reckless. But our faith has to be reckless in order to pay dividends for the kingdom. God's love is reckless. It's uncontainable. It's unstoppable. You can't put boundaries on it. And he's releasing his love in each one of our hearts. He abounds his love towards us in our hearts so that we could be lovers of the kingdom, lovers of God and lovers of each other. When you have a problem with the other person, you have a problem with your love tank is not being filled properly. Yes, ma'am. Okay. He didn't want you to speak at that moment. Now he's preparing your heart in a better condition in order to approach that person, and has prepared that person to hear from you, where before he wouldn't have received it or she wouldn't have. So it was good that you didn't speak. It's better you don't speak a lot of times. Just by your presence in somebody's life, you release the kingdom, and it chases them down and gives you opportunity at a later date. That's what we look for. We don't have to prove anything to anybody. The devil's going to try to make you guilty. See, you should have talked. You're not a good minister. Look at you. Well, what are you doing for the kingdom? You need to call that person up right now. Well, then you're going to be doing it in your own strength. Let God open up the avenue. I've been waiting for 10 years. I haven't gone on missions trips for 10 years for God to open up the... I wanted to go on a lot of them. No. You have responsibility here. No, you have responsibility. Then my life got turned upside down. The crap hit the fan. I didn't know what was going to go on from the day to day. And now he's ready to use me the way he wants to use me. He opened up the opportunity. He knew I wanted to go. He's been preparing me to go. Now he put me right where I need to be. Right with the people that love me and I love them. And there's nothing stopping. There's no wall of separation stopping the gospel from coming forth in Uganda where I'm heading. Hallelujah. So we take advantage of the situations that God creates for us. The world tries to create their own situations by forcing, by selling themselves, and trying to be successful in man's eyes, and they don't care what God thinks about it. You're getting in the way, because it doesn't hurt God, because he already loves that person beyond what love is even defined as. There's nothing that you could do to hurt God anymore, because Jesus satisfied the sin debt of the world. He loves the worst ISIS fighter that there is and is not offended one bit. So we don't have to get offended. All we have to do is either intercede, speak, wait, listen, and be directed by the Holy Spirit and speak when he wants to speak. Right. No. Yeah, we don't live anymore. our interests are not to be in the forefront of anything that we do. Once we get the interests of God in and through us, and we contemplate on those things, then we're better prepared to speak and demonstrate who He is, so that the person sees God and not us. Then we have reason to talk later on. Then it's going to raise a question in their minds. Well, that person knew that it would hurt you. Do they know you love Jesus? They didn't know that at the time? Amen. There's no room for doubt in these days, in this time. I went to see that movie last night with the kid that drowned and came back to life. That's good. The mother never doubted. Never doubted. Just like you never doubted. No matter what. What's the name of that movie that's out? I don't know what the name is. Was it? I don't know. Yeah. It's really good. He fell through the ice, died for 45 minutes, and came back to life because the mother spoke over him. Didn't listen to what the doctors were saying. Didn't listen to what people were saying. Didn't listen about anything except what she believed in her heart. And he came back to life, and he was, you know, perfectly fine. It was a good story, you know. And let's just read here in Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing and blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, there's no doubt in that sentence. It's already been established. It's already been done. It's already been redeemed for us. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. There's no doubt in the good pleasure of His will. No doubt. To the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. Thank you, Lord. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Now, if you read that and contemplate on that truth, then the wisdom of God gets planted in your heart. He continues to make room for more of Him in our lives if we are subject to Him. If we stay subject to Him, then you're going to be a better listener. Then you're going to be a better father. Then you're going to be a better mother. Then you're going to be a better husband and wife. It all automatically happens in Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, before I go on, you know, I made that statement about, you know, that mother didn't allow any negative word to come into that situation, and by the miraculous power of God, her son lived. Now, I know another mother who didn't move off of faith and father, trusted God, believed in God, and he went home to be with the Lord. You can't figure it out. You can't judge that situation. You can't understand except trust. Now, Corey is with Jesus. He's in a great place. You know, I think about that guy when I'm driving. I was going to take a ride with him. Where was he going to go? To Alaska one time? He wanted to do something in Alaska. And he asked me if I wanted to go, and I said, yeah, I'll go. You just can't figure things out. You can't allow doubt, no matter what happens, to get in the way. And look what God has done through the heritage of your family, even though a tragedy happens. And it's phenomenal. And I couldn't even go preach another word until I just paid my respect to you two guys. Right. So that really encourages us that all the things we have to go through can't affect us to the degree where, unless we allow it to. Unless we allow it to. And sometimes we allow it. Right. 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 You have. Right. Well, I went home that night after the hospital, and I was completely devastated because I thought with everything in me that that young fellow was going to get up off that table and everything was going to be good and we were going to see that miracle. And I went home and I was completely depressed. I'm sitting in my living room. I can't sleep. I don't even know if I believe in God anymore. That's where I was a young Christian back then. So 4 o'clock in the morning, I hear my dog barking, and I hear two people talking underneath the front door. I'm going, who the heck are these people? I open the door. It's Pastor Tony and Paul Spence to just comfort me and tell me it's not your faith, it's not your fault. We prayed and we believed, and I really needed that at that point. I was so grateful because here we do have a healing ministry, and we're speaking the word of God. We're believing the word of God, and that was a devastating time. But that helped me. Pastor Tony knew that I needed encouragement. We thank you, Lord, for comforting us in our need. You know everything, Lord God, and we thank you for that. You've taught us to be confident in you, and we can continue on, Lord God, even when things are tough. And you've approved us, Lord God. You've given us your approval, and you've trusted us with the gospel. And we're going to take that, Lord, and we're going to run with you, and we're going to deliver your goods. We're going to stand in Christ to exhibit and to show and display your kingdom. Even when things get tough, Father God, we're going to demonstrate your mighty works and set into order what you've already accomplished for us in you. So we just want to bless each one here today, Lord God. We want to thank you. We want to thank you for being with Pastor Tony. We stand in agreement with you and him and the people of Zambia. We bless them, Lord God. We bless the furthering of your kingdom. We bless all the souls that are coming into your kingdom. All the pastors, Lord God, that are going to be set free by your grace message, by your gospel, how you're going to set on fire that nation for you, and the same with the upcoming trip to Uganda, Lord God. I just thank you for going before me. I thank you for already preparing, already unraveling the mystery of Jesus Christ. I will stand on your behalf and speak for you, Lord God. And I thank you in advance for the success of that trip, for the furthering of the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of your truth for the students at that Bible college. And we look forward to hearing about the good report, Lord God. And we just